Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 3, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some sixtyfold, and some thirtyfold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Then if we'll jump down to verse number 18, we read Jesus giving an interpretation of that parable. Verse 18, he gave the parable to the public, to the multitude publicly. He gave the interpretation to the disciples privately. Verse 18, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he which heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. But when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the words, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this parable, and what an encouragement it is to us. We ask, Lord, that you would use this message tonight, and Lord, the truths, the principles and precepts found in this parable and the interpretation thereof. Lord, please, dear God, use it to excite us and energize us as we look forward to a springtime of sowing. And I pray that you would bless, dear Lord, the outreach ministries of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And Lord, as they begin to intensify in the weeks ahead, I pray, Lord, please, dear God, help us to just be faithful in doing what you've asked us to do. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. And it's getting to be a bit of a long time since I decided as a young man that I wanted to be involved in spending my life getting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ out. I want to say this. I'm not talking about my decision to surrender to the gospel ministry. Before God called me into the gospel ministry, he dealt very specifically in my heart as a young person about the importance of getting the gospel to lost people. Long before I ever dreamed or imagined that God would call me to preach the Bible and that would be my life calling, as a young man, I went to an altar and said, Lord, I don't know what you're going to have for me to do in this life, but I want to tell you this. For the rest of my life, I want to be involved in getting the gospel of the Lord Jesus out. I want to get the gospel to lost sinners. I want to be involved in evangelism. And please help me to learn how to be a soul winner. Please help me to be able to reach people for Christ. And God very specifically dealt with that area of my life. Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks, and I say this to our young people from time to time. God's not going to call everybody to be a pastor or an evangelist or a missionary, but God's called every one of us to be involved in sowing the gospel seed. You know what? You may not spend your life being a preacher, but you ought to spend your life being a soul winner. And everybody ought to be involved in getting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ out. So what I'm going to teach you and what I'm going to say to you tonight is not just lessons learned from the pulpit. It's lessons that you need in the pew. And there's an exciting way to live your life. There's people in this church that have never preached a message, but you know what? They've spent a lifetime involved in sowing the good seed of the gospel. And after you do that for many years, you learn some lessons. And when you read a parable like this, and you read the interpretation, it means something. The Bible says this, he that winneth souls is... And I will say this, listen to me. There's a certain amount of biblical wisdom that's going to be withheld from you biblical understanding is going to be withheld from you if you're not involved in evangelism. There's some parts of the Bible that just never are going to make sense to you. Once you get involved by faith out into the harvest fields, you'll read parables like this and you'll understand exactly what they're talking about because you're involved in the sowing process. All of a sudden it makes sense to you. One of the ways to increase your wisdom and understanding of the Bible is to obey the Great Commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And once you begin to be involved in that, it's amazing how many portions of the Bible all of a sudden make sense to you and you glean things from that you're never going to understand if you sit on the sidelines and you're not involved in evangelism. And so after spending years now spreading the gospel and spending years as a soul winner and trying to be consistent in that, spending years passing out tracts, spending years knocking on doors, spending years then even preaching the gospel by God's grace, there's just certain lessons that you learn from a parable like this, and I want to share some of those things for you. And I'm going to say this first of all, because I want to be transparent with you. If you give your life to this and you decide you're going to do this with your life, there's going to be times during that stretch where you're going to be tempted to quit. It's not always easy sticking with that vow, sticking with that promise to God to be consistently involved in evangelism. I'll be honest with you, there's been times in my life when I've been just tempted to quit. I mean, just absolutely just say, you know what, I'm not doing this anymore. And I always stop and take a step back, and I think this is the way my mind works, but I'll get to feeling like that, and here I am feeling like that. And then what I try to do is have an out-of-body experience. And I know not everyone can do this. I'm very gifted in that. But what I do sometimes is, you know what, sometimes you're sitting right here, and you know what, you're frustrated, and things don't seem to be working. And it's nice to be able to be that person and have all those human emotions, but also separate yourself back and step away from that and say, listen, why am I feeling that way? Or what is the cause of this? Or what is the devil doing in my life to bring me to a point of such discouragement? And I think what you've got to do is understand that you need to, at times, watch this, analyze logically your oftentimes illogical emotions. And so sometimes you got to take a step back and say, God, wait a minute. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm upset right now. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm wanting to quit right now. I'm wanting to walk away from this. Now, Lord, how did I get here? And what's going on that's produced this in my life? And most of the times, there's three main reasons why I just get to the point where sometimes it doesn't seem like sowing seed is something that I want to continue to be involved in. Let me give you the three reasons why I am sometimes tempted to quit in this matter of sowing the seed. Number one, the amount of cost involved in seed sowing. You know what? It costs something. It costs something financially. There's a lot of churches that, you know what, are much larger than us that don't spend near the money that we spend here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church just in consistently getting the gospel out. I understand why some preachers scale back. I understand why in these times it's just easier to come up with reasons why we'll shave the bus ministry down a bit. Or you know what? We don't really need to order gospel tracts anymore. Or you know what? We don't need to do this anymore or that anymore. And this is costly and that's costly. And you know what? It does just cost. Not only costs money to do it, it costs time to do it. It takes a big chunk of your life to be involved in this, and it takes some commitment, and it takes living by schedule, and it takes being committed to certain outreach ministries, and you know what, moving heaven and earth, and all of the problems that come up in the midst of a week, and all the things you could use that time for. And it's just easier sometimes to say, you know what, it just seems to cost so much to be involved in seed sowing. Brother Jack Gordon's a farmer, and Brother Donnie Davis and other farmers, you know what, if they haven't already, and most of them have, if they haven't already, they're in the process of buying seed. And ask them, this is one of the most costly times in the farming business right now, because it costs a lot of money to get the seed so that you can sow the seed. It just costs a lot of money to do it. There's some cost that comes with being a soul-winning church. Number two, I sometimes am tempted to quit sowing seed because of the amount of sowing that does not produce results. I think a lot of times this is what weighs heavy on me. I mean, man, it takes a lot of labor. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of expense. And sometimes it seems that you've invested so much and really you get such a little return. If you look at the parable of the sowers, we've read in verse number 3, this sower went out to sow, but notice this, folks, 3/4 of the seed that he sowed produces no long-term results when it comes to fruitfulness. 3/4. That means he reaches in and gets a handful of seed and sows it. And he reaches and gets another handful of seed and he sows it. And he reaches in and gets a third and sows it. And he reaches in and gets a fourth and sows it. And you know what? 3 times that he reached in the bag, it means that nothing's going to come of that. Now think about that. That's a little bit discouraging. And it just seems like sometimes it doesn't produce as you want to produce. A sower went forth to seed, verse 3. A sower went forth to sow, verse 3. And when he had sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. There's always a bunch of buzzards floating around an independent fundamental Baptist church just waiting outside to try to keep the word of God from taking effect in the heart of the people that actually come in and listen to it. They're buzzards, by the way. They're ravens of hell. And they try to discourage people from simply accepting what the Bible says and implementing it into their lives. Verse number 5, some fell among stony places where they had not much earth. We live in a characterless society. The Bible says, you know what? They didn't have much root in themselves. It's really tough. I said this to somebody the other day. A young preacher called me and was so discouraged. And I'm going to tell you something. Preachers that are out there on the front lines trying to plant churches and start churches and keep churches going, and they're winning people to Christ. But so many times we have a culture that's been taught so little character that I used to say this. When Dad somebody saw somebody saved in his generation, he took them from zero a lot of times and then worked forward with them. It seems like we get somebody saved and they're at -437 and we have to work through a bunch of junk just to get them to zero where we can start forward with them because we have a generation that's not been taught any character. I mean, you know what? You get somebody to come in and you know what? They don't have a work ethic and they haven't got a job and they're in their fourth marriage and they've got all of these problems and baggage and junk and sometimes addictions. And I mean, you're there and you've got to work through all of that before you can just get to the point where you can start getting to maybe see them become productive. They just don't have much root in themselves. And that's discouraging at times. Verse number 6, and when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Then we have verse 7, that some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. Now, verse number 22 gives us a very specific warning here and an explanation of why a lot of the seed that we sow around here doesn't produce anything. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word and the cares of this world. The world's got such a grip on people. The world is busy enticing our young people, trying to get them to be convinced that there's something better out there in the world than they have with a life spent serving God. The deceitfulness of riches, people have become so materialistic. Nobody wants to sacrifice. Nobody wants to do without. No, everybody wants all the money and the toys they can get. And you know what? We have to deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow Jesus if we're going to be a disciple. But they choke the word and he becometh unfruitful. And a lot of times, again, we're just working against a culture that's been turned upside down, a value system that's unbiblical, and it's hard to change the minds of people. So we're going to sow a lot of seed around here. And sometimes you're going to be tempted to come up and say, preacher, we're spending a lot of money, and you know, where's the results? And you're going to sometimes look at the bus ministry, and you're going to say, you know what, preacher, for all of the money that we spend and all the people that we bring, and yeah, you know what, there's some getting saved, but you know, where's the long term? And the honest truth is, there's a lot of handful of seeds that's sown that, you know what, we get absolutely no return off of. And that's discouraging at times. I mentioned that preacher that called me this week, and I mean, he was in tears. It hurts my heart when a young man has got to the point, and I'm not talking about a sluggard and a slackard. I'm talking about a guy that's out there working himself to death trying to reach people. And he said, preacher, I get out there and I went. He said, I know what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to win people to Christ. We're supposed to disciple them. And then we're supposed to be able to teach them to the point where they're able to disciple others. By the way, he did a good job just putting it all in a nutshell what we're trying to do around here. He said, I win people to Christ. He said, I think that I'm seeing genuine conversions. But just trying to disciple them, teach them disciplines. Some of them resist that. And then he says, when I get to the point where I think I might have somebody to the point where they might be able to take on some responsibilities, and I give them the chance to, they balk at it. Some of them even run away, leave the church because they don't want the responsibility of it. What are we going to do? He said, is this what the ministry is? And you know what I told him? Brother, in a large part in this culture, yeah, that's what it is. I'm not going to sit here and blow smoke at you. You're going to spend a lot of time and a lot of hours and a lot of times, watch this, the people that you spend, come on, bus workers, help me. The people that you spend the most time discipling and spend the most time trying to help sometimes are the ones that will walk away and stab you in the back and disappear and ride off into the sunset. I mean, it's not easy to be in ministry in this day and age. And number three, we see this, the amount of demonic attacks that comes with the decision to sow. I'm just giving you, I'm just being transparent with you. There's times in my ministry I've just been tempted to quit because there's such a high cost involved in sowing. It seems like a lot of sowing that doesn't produce long-term results. And you know what? If you get in the sowing business, you talk about demonic attacks, they're coming. And there's, to be honest with you, there's sometimes I think, well, maybe if we just scale it down a little bit, the devil won't pay so much attention to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. He won't attack the preacher. He won't attack the people as much. And sometimes I hurt for our people. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. You better get the armor of God on. If you're going to attend Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you better be getting the armor of God on, because I promise you this, the devil pays special attention to churches like this. And if you're going to be a member of a church like this, your family is going to have to learn to deal with personal satanic attacks, because you know what? The devil is all about destroying lighthouses like Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And I mean, the attacks come from within, the attacks come from without, the attacks come inside of ourselves, and we have to sometimes deal with some things. And I'm going to tell you something, the devil's relentless, and he doesn't play fair, he doesn't obey any rules, he's dirty, he's a cutthroat, he's a liar, and he's a murderer. And you know what, man, he don't fight fair. And boy, he'll attack you, and he'll attack your family, and it'll seem like there's a... Listen, I don't know of a family in this church not going through something right now. I'll go down through our prayer list, and it's just like, are you kidding me? I mean, I honestly don't know of a family in this church not going through, not just one or two small things, but I mean the devil's after you. Hey, can I say something? Get used to it if you're going to be in a church like this. And church, I want to encourage you. Listen to me. Thanks for sticking in here. But it's going to be tempting for you, ma'am, and you, sir, from time to time, say, well, you know what, maybe if we went to a church that, you know, didn't decide they wanted to be the Green Berets and fight always on the front line, that maybe, you know, it wouldn't be so hard on us. And can I say this? Yeah, it probably wouldn't be. But I don't think you're also going to get to see the miracles that you're going to get to see in a soul-winning church. Okay, and I just want to say this. I ain't got an axe to grind against anybody. You know, I learned a long time ago there's no cure for stupid, and gossips are going to be gossips. But anybody that's walking around trying to convince anybody else that this is a bad church, that this is a church based on wrong philosophy, listen, that's a part of Satan's demonic attack against Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Don't ever listen to backslidden used-to-be Christians. Don't ever listen to people who, by the way, are doing absolutely nothing for the work of God and yet are expert at criticizing Christians who are doing something for the work of God. I don't have time to answer them. I'm not interested in answering them. I don't care what they posted on Facebook last week or the week before. I'm not going to open an account so I can answer all of their foolishness. Take a look at their lives. Have some sense. Understand that people that are cowards and quitters always have to make it seem like it's somebody else's fault, that they're not doing what they ought to do. They're going to play the blame game. Just chalk it up for what it is and don't be influenced by it, all right? But it's just part of the territory. I mean, it's just what it is. If you're going to sow seed and be a soul-winning church, if you're going to run buses and go soul-winning, if you're going to pass out gospel tracts, if you're going to energize a group of people to aggressively go out and give the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the devil's going to take notice. The devil's going to attack. It's just the way it's going to be, all right? So those are the reasons, though, that, be honest with you, sometimes when the attack gets intense, and by the way, it seems like sometimes all of these things hit at once. It seems like it's hard to pay the cost. It seems like we see sometimes too many periods of not many results, and then we, at that same time, here comes the demonic attacks, and it's very easy at times. I'm sorry, I'm human, where I just say to myself, you know what? I don't know if I want to keep doing this or not. You say, preacher, well, if you've met those times before, why are you still doing it? Well, I'm going to answer your question. Listen, lessons learned from a life spent sowing. I'm going to answer that question. I want to try to help some of you that, you know, maybe the devil's got you on the ropes a little bit. And some of you that are starting to question whether or not Blessed Hope Baptist Church is the kind of church that you want to be a part of and want to be in. Let me tell you something. I want you to stick in there, and I want you to not quit, and I want you to keep sowing, because you know what? There are plenty of reasons to keep on while other people are quitting. Number one, I have a command from God, a command from my master to sow. Why haven't you quit, preacher? Because you know what? God commanded me to do it. He didn't say do it when it was easy. He didn't say do it when you have results. He didn't say do it when the sea is smooth and there's no storms. He said do it. Matthew 16:15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That should be all we need. We have a mandate, a scriptural mandate for Blessed Hope Baptist Church to be a church that sows the gospel seed. And so why do we keep on doing it? Because simply God has commanded it. You know what? I'm going to be an obedient Christian. I don't want to stand before God ashamed one of these days. I don't want to say, Lord, you know what, boy, for a couple decades, 10, 12 years, man, I hit it hard and I was really active. But you know what? Some things happened and I got disillusioned and I got discouraged. And so I just gave up in the last 20, 30 years of my life. I didn't do much sowing. I don't want to be that Christian. If God's commanded us to do it, that's all I need. I want to be an obedient Christian. And Jesus Christ himself has commissioned us to be sowers of the seed. Are you an obedient Christian? Are you obedient in this matter of spreading the gospel and sowing the seed? Are you obedient in that? We have a great opportunity in the next 5 or 6 weeks. We have a great opportunity to launch out into an aggressive outreach spring program. We're going to be doing the Shine His Lights campaign all the way through October. There's plenty of opportunity here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I've got bus captains that are coming to me and saying, preacher, I need some help on my route. And I mean, they honestly need some help on their route. Oh, I need bus drivers right now. I mean, I need people to just dedicate themselves to looking around at their neighborhood and say, you know what? This is no longer a neighborhood that I live in or a community that I live in. This is a mission field that God has called me to. I mean, we've got to get an aggressive mentality. We can't say, well, preacher, I got this going, that going, this going, that. I understand. But you know what? Let's take inventory of our life and let's understand that we have a obligation of obedience to Christ in this matter of getting the gospel out. Why keep sowing? Because it's the command of the master. Number two, this is one of the reasons I keep sowing, because of the power of the seed. Because of the power of the seed. I'm going to tell you something. We have an interpretation here, and I won't have you turn to it, but if you go over to Mark and read the interpretation that Jesus gave in Mark chapter 4, verse 14, he says this, the sower soweth the word. The sower soweth the word. What is the seed? The seed is the word of God. What is the seed? The seed is the glorious gospel. I'm going to tell you something. It's powerful. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Now, listen, there's something powerful about the message that we have to take. I was telling the young people in our teen class, I said, you know what? Almost everything in the Bible that God's told us to go out and tell people is hard for anybody to believe. We're trying to convince people of things that are impossible and illogical and unscientific. I mean, we start all the way in Genesis, and we're going to, I mean, think about this. You're going to people in this culture that have no Bible background. A lot of them have no Bible understanding, and you go to them, and they start talking about the world and how it became, and I said, yeah, I can tell you how that happened. You see, there was nothing one time, and God stepped out on the edge of nothingness and spoke, and everything that we see has been created. And by the way, he did that in 6 days, actual evening and morning days, and they look at you like, what? I mean, you go through and you begin to just try to tell them Bible stories. Say, hey, there was this man in the Bible, and you know what? He was a prophet and a preacher, and he stood for God, and you know what? The guys didn't like it, and because he wouldn't quit praying, they took him, and there was a den of hungry man-eating lions. I mean, they hadn't been fed. They were man-eating lions, and they threw him in there, and they put something over the top, and you know what? The next morning, the king came, and he pulled it back, and he looks in there, and guess what? Here's this prophet down there. He's been sleeping soundly. All those man-eating lions are sleeping around him. And he says, he calls out and proclaims God, and he's lifted out, and the men that brought false accusation is brought, and they're thrown in. The Bible says their bodies don't even touch the ground, does not reach the bottom of the pit, because these lions literally devour them in the air, and yet this man spent, who's going to believe that? There's this guy, this preacher, you know, and God said, you go preach to Nineveh. And he said, no, I'm not going to do that. So he gets on a boat. And when he gets out on the boat, this storm comes. And the waves. And he's down sleeping. And they wake him up. And he's honest with them. He said, let me tell you why we're in the middle of this storm. Because I'm running from God. And this is judgment from God. And the only way it's going to stop, you got to throw me in. I appreciate these pagan sailors. You know, they tried not to have to do that. But finally, they looked at him and said, hey, it's you or me. Guess what? You're going, you know. And they hoisted him overboard. And as soon as he hit the water, here comes a big whale and swallows him. And then the whale disappears. And then the storm stops and calms. And then the clouds roll back and the sun comes out. And you know what? Those men learn to fear God. And 3 days and three nights, there's a preacher in the belly of a well swimming around down in the ocean somewhere. I mean, I've got to try to tell people, convince people these stories. You know what? God has decided that every time he does something that he wanted recorded in his Bible, that we would have to choose to believe it by faith. We have to be a people of faith. We preach a message that has to be believed by faith. It has to be. If you're going to believe it, you know, here's the story of Jesus. Here's the gospel story I'm trying to go out and spread. We're trying to go out and spread. You know what? Here's the gospel story. God the Father, who created mankind, wanted to save man from their own sins. And so he has a son named Jesus, and he sends him down, and this son is placed in the womb of a young virgin girl. And so this Savior is born of a virgin, and already the world's looking at you like, have you lost your mind? And then he was born in a stable and laid in a manger. Watch this. And he lived for 33 years and he lived an absolutely perfect life. And they're looking at you like, yeah, all right. And then they finally put him on a cross and they killed him. And then they put him in the ground and they rolled a big stone away. And 3 days later, the stone rolled away and he walks out and he rose from the dead. No problem. Now, you say, preacher, You go to any book in this Bible right here, any of the books, any of the major Bible stories, and every one of them challenges us to have to either believe it by faith or not believe it at all. What did he do while he was here on earth? Well, tell me more about this Jesus. Well, one time he took a little boy's basket and he prayed over it, and then he started reaching in and passing it out, and he fed 5,000 people plus women and children. Most people believe 25,000 people. He just used a sack there, sack lunch, and he accomplished that. And they look at you like, what? You say, preacher, wait a minute, I'm sitting here. You all don't really believe that stuff. Hey, church, do we really believe this stuff? Yeah, and how do you believe it? You believe it by faith. You choose to say, that's the word of God. If God says that I believe it, that settles it. That's what you do, you know. And then there was a time where he sent his disciples to cross the sea, and they got into a storm, and he wanted to go to a mountain to pray. And so after he gets done praying, he says, I better go check on them. So he looks around. There's no boat, no problem. He walks across the water. He's walking in the midst of the storm. They see him. They think it's a ghost. They start screaming, going crazy. He comes over and says, hey, it's me. Settle down. And he calms them, and they're saying, hey, listen, that's what we've got to preach. Now, let me say this. Say, preacher, I don't know how this ever works. Let me tell you why it works. Because that book right there is powerful. It's just powerful. I mean, listen, if we went to Aesop Fables, I can make up a bunch of crazy, unbelievable stories and tell people, and all they do is laugh and think I was nuts. But we've got a supernatural book full of unbelievable, crazy stories, and you preach them, and you know what the human race does? They go, wow. You know what? Now, not everybody, but there's still people that respond by faith. Why is that? Because this, watch it. When we share the gospel, it's not just us that are doing it. We are assisted by the Spirit of God. And when you are sowing the seed, watch this. This is what's exciting about it. You're involved in a supernatural confrontation, a supernatural work. And when you sow the seed of the gospel, it's not just me standing there talking to somebody. While I am talking to them, I am assisted by God and His dealing in their heart. And how many times have I been able to be witness to the power of the preaching of the gospel? And I'm up there doing the best I can just to tell the old, old story. And I watch God move in and energize and ignite that in people's heart. And you know what? Things that don't make any sense at all from a worldly standpoint, all of a sudden people step out and say, I choose to believe that. Yesterday I got to be involved in something exciting. This is the 2 out of the last 3 years they've done it. But by the way, Brother Parker over at Bible Baptist in Terre Haute is actually now getting ready to take a church in Florida. And so he is going to spend his last Sunday there this coming Sunday. They've already voted in Kevin Swarga, the assistant pastor, to be pastor there at Bible Baptist. So they're going through a little bit of a transition. But they had planned several months ago to have a 3-on-3 basketball tournament, just try to get public school teenage young men to come in. And they did it 3 years ago, and I preached the first one. Last year, they wanted me to come, and there was a schedule conflict. I had something I had to do here, and so I didn't go. Yesterday, I was able to go. And I walk in there, and there's 30-some teams. There's over 100 public school teenagers. And I say that there were some of those teams that were of their own youth group, maybe 3 or 4 of the teams. 3-on-3 basketball tournament, but most of the young men in that room, just very obviously public school kids, most of them probably without much church background, most of them probably not saved. And what they do is they have registration, and then they come out and they talk about what they're going to do, and then they have some drawings, and they have some fun, and then they say, this is Pastor Jerry Ross, he's going to take the next 20, 30 minutes and talk to you. Watch this. I never cease to be amazed at the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, folks, we don't have to get fancy. We don't have to try to come up with some kind of wild, crazy whatever. Preach the gospel. The gospel is powerful. Should it be presented in an interesting fashion? Yes, it should. You know, it says there, by the way, read that interpretation, Sunday school teachers, about the birds that came and plucked the seed. It said if they, those who did not understand the word. And I can't help but say, do we have some personal responsibility there? The Word of God is supposed to be preached in such a way where people can understand it. The old-time preachers say, keep the jelly on the bottom shelf where everybody can reach it. I'm not worried in coming in here with some flowery sermon and using a bunch of big words and trying to impress everybody. And at the end, they're like, wow, that was amazing. I have no idea what he said, but that was amazing. I'm just a country preacher. We preach it country simple around here. The Bible's, a simple book with a simple message. Let's not get complicated. And so we just preached it. I just got up and preached a message to them, a gospel message to them. And 26 young men stood up and received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Yeah, listen, folks, I believe in the power of the gospel. I believe in it. I'm sold on it. I don't have to reinvent anything. Okay, we don't have to reinvent the church. Just preach the gospel. Sunday school teachers, this fall program, you know what? I know your lessons or whatever they are, and I want you to cover what you're supposed to as best you can, but listen, use the gospel. Preach the gospel during these times of outreach where we're going to be bringing. Don't leave your classroom without giving them the gospel. Preacher, I gave it to it last week. There's a student there is in your classroom this week that wasn't there last week, and even if they were, they need to hear it again. Brother Chad, the next few weeks, preach the gospel as we're in this program. I mean, it's all about just getting the gospel out and showing sinners the saving grace and what's available through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. Listen, there's something powerful about the seed. Brother Kevin Swarga came and he sat beside me afterwards. I went out and watched the kids for a while and just hung out and got to talk to some of them that had gotten saved and whatever. And he come over and sat down beside me. He said, Brother Ross, you know, he said, this is my first pastorate. And, you know, just give me something. I said, Brother, listen, don't ever underestimate the power of the Word of God. You know all you got to do? I said, son, he's 27 years old. I said, you know all you got to do, son? You just got to get that book and you got to get up and you got to preach. That's all you got to do. And you preach the Bible and you preach the gospel. Keep the gospel coming from your pulpit. And you're going to find out that, you know what? It will produce the miraculous in people's lives. Now, not everybody. Some people are going to walk away. Some people are going to scoff. Somebody's going to say, some people are going to say, I don't believe it. And you know what? They did the same thing in the book of Acts. Nothing new. But you know what? Some people will be touched by the Word of God and transformed by the Word of God, the power of the seed. Number three, why do you keep sowing? The command of the master, the power of the seed. Number three, the eternal life gained by the recipients. He came into his own received them not, him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I never get tired of watching people get saved. I just never get tired of it. I expect folks to get saved, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We have a Sunday when somebody gets saved. I'm not shocked when somebody gets saved. I'm really kind of shocked when somebody doesn't get saved. I shouldn't probably tell this story. Should I tell this story? I guess I'll tell this story. I got a guy that's running a camp, and he came to see me, and he just took over a camp, and he came to me, and what he's wanting to do is drop the standards of his camp. That's all he's wanting to do. I'm just going, listen, you're not going to fool an old dog, okay? All he wants to do is just drop the standards of his camp. So he's got to figure out a way where he can drop the standards of his camp and appear to be spiritual in doing it. So he comes and talks to me. And by the way, he doesn't answer to me. Why is it that they feel like they got to come to Jerry Ross and explain this stuff? You know why? Because they know that I'll call them to account. And if, I didn't ask him, I didn't call him up and say, hey, what are you going to do with standards at the camp? It's none of my business. I'm not God. He can go do whatever he wants. He's going to answer to God for it one day. He can go do whatever he wants. We got this idea that if we lower holiness, then that's going to create a better atmosphere for evangelism. Okay, you tell me that. But anyway, he came to me and he said this. He said, hey, we're going to have at the beginning of the camp year, we're going to have a Saturday before school's out where we have a Saturday just for bus kids, because that's going to impress Pastor Jerry Ross, because, boy, he's bus minister. So I said, good. That's fantastic, man. Glad you're doing it. He said, well, now on that particular Saturday, we're not going to have any dress standards or anything. I mean, the churches can put their own dress standards in, but as far as bringing the kids, they can just come any way they want to, because it's all about evangelism. We're just trying to get the gospel to them. I said, okay. All right. Why is he telling me this? He can do whatever he wants. And but he's not satisfied, because he wants me to say, wow, that's a great idea. And so I said, okay, all right, fine. And he said, well, I was hoping maybe some of the churches will use it for bus promotion. Now listen, this is good. I'm going somewhere with this. He said, I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I was thinking maybe during your spring program, your spring outreach, if you get a bus kid to come 4 weeks in a row, at the end of 4 weeks in a row of coming, then maybe you could offer them a trip on this Saturday, and that could be their reward, and then they could come to camp, and, we preach, and our goal is to see a bunch of people saved. And I just look at him, and I'm thinking to myself, do I decapitate this kid or not? And I looked at him, I called him by name, I said, look at me and listen. I said, if I get a young person to come 4 weeks in a row at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and they hear the gospel on the bus as they're coming in, and they go to Sunday school and hear the gospel, then they go to children's church and hear the gospel, and then they go home and the next week they hear it three more times. And by the way, on Saturday, they're going to hear the gospel because the workers are going to be witnessing to them. Why would I need, after them coming to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, who is into evangelism, why would I need, after 4 weeks of them coming here, to load them all up in a bus and take them to your camp on a Saturday so they could finally hear the gospel and get saved? Now, folks, what I'm saying, here's the point. Not criticizing. I mean, again, whatever. Whatsoever's in thy hand, okay? That's not in my hand. Do whatever you want to. But what I'm saying is this. Don't try to justify lowering standards as if that's the way to get people saved. Listen, I don't need, watch this, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we shouldn't need a camp to haul our kids to so they can hear the gospel and be saved. They ought to hear it every week at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Matter of fact, most camps ought to load them up and bring them to Blessed Hope Baptist Church so they can hear the gospel and be saved. And what I'm saying is this, don't fall for that junk. All right. What I would need a camp for, I'm going to go ahead and finish my thought because I'm in the spirit now, amen. What I need a camp for is helping discipleship, not helping evangelism. And I don't want to take a bunch of newly saved kids somewhere where they don't see a difference in how Christians are supposed to be. Camp around Blessed Hope Baptist Church for many of our buskies is the first opportunity to have a week where they do learn to dress right, and they do learn to have devotions, and they do learn to grow in the Lord. And we want to destroy all of that under the excuse of evangelism. I don't need camp to help us evangelize. We evangelize our own community. I need camps and other organizations to help us in discipleship. Now watch it, folks, because it's amazing how many times what we do is we want to make excuses of how and why we need to lower standards here and in these other ministries, and what we need to do is just stick to the Bible, stick to the Word of God. All that was free. I may send the guy the tape. I'm not sure. I'll say that. No, I won't. No, I really won't, you know. It's just silly listening to this new, brand new generation of young 20-something fundamentalists that are throwing everything that's sacred, everything we fought for, throwing it away and trying to appear spiritual while they're doing it. I ain't got any patience with them. I ain't got any patience with them. They spit on the grave of my dad when they do that. They spit on the grave of old-time religion. They criticize men that have gone before them and blazed a trail, and they wouldn't have the ministries they have now if it wasn't for men that took that fought and was willing to separate and leave the convention. I got a bunch of young independent fundamental Baptist preachers wanting to go back to the Southern Baptist Convention and take churches that their forefathers fought to get out of the convention, take them back into the convention. We've got too many young independent fundamental pastors reading evangelical books, and they're more interested in mimicking Rick Warren and that crowd than they are learning something from Lester Roloff and John R. Rice and Lee Robertson. I'm going to tell you something. You better watch who you're picking your heroes. That is good. It has nothing to do with the sermon, but it just feels good saying it. Amen. Preach the word. Don't water it down. Preach it. Don't make excuses why you need to tiptoe around some things. Just say it. But you know what's exciting? You know why I keep sowing? Because you know what? There's power in the seed, and every single person that gets saved, you say, preacher, but there's not as much results as we'd like. Maybe not, but every single young person that gets saved has eternal life. They will not have to go to hell. And you hear me say this a lot, but I believe we are right now trying to reach the rapture generation. And I believe every young person we see saved not only is delivered from hell, eternal fire, and damnation, but they don't have to go to the tribulation period, because I think we're that close. Hey, I don't want to scale back. You know what I want to do? I want to hit it hard this spring. Let's go out and let's sow some seed. Let me give you the last thought. We're done. The command, why do you keep on sowing? The command of the master, the power of the seed, the eternal life gained by the recipients, and the productivity of the few. Look, if you will, at chapter 13, verse 23. Say, preacher, it doesn't seem like we see a whole lot of results. Well, maybe not, but let's take a look at what results we do see. Matthew 13, verse 23, but he that received the word into good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also bear fruit, some bringeth forth, some in hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. And you know what? Here's the thing. This is how God works. There may not be an overwhelming large majority of the people that we get the gospel to that get saved, but the ones that do get saved and they've got some good ground prepared, they become very, very productive. We should not be shocked that the vast majority of people that we share the gospel with are not going to get saved. The Bible says broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many go in thereat. Bible says narrow is the way that leadeth to life eternal. And here's what it says. Few there be that find it. So that means we're going to preach the gospel to a lot of people, and yet a very small percentage of them is really going to get saved. But here's the thing. Say, is that discouraging to you? Not when you see what that small little percentage is capable of once they get saved. I mean, you get somebody that gets saved, you get somebody that gets on board, you get somebody that gets excited, you get somebody that gets in and learns. And I'm going to tell you something. It may only seem like one got saved, but the potential of that one is unbelievable. Over the course of their life, they could see hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of other people saved. And so it may not seem like we're reaching a lot, but in essence, we're reaching a lot because of the potential. Now, every single one of us ought to say, you know what? That's the part that I want to be. That's the group I want to be a part of. I want to be a part of the group that hears the word of God, receives it to good ground. That means a receptive heart, a hunger and a willingness to apply what I learn. And then I want to go out and I want to be a fruit bearer. Amen. I want to be a fruit bearer. I want to produce. Come on, preacher, give me a Sunday school class. Come on, give me a ministry. Give me a position on one of these. Hey, preacher, let's raise some money. Let's get another bus. Let's do more. Hey, I want to be part of that group. And so lessons from a life spent in sowing, if I could give them to you, here's what it is. You know what? I'm going to keep on sowing the seed as long as God gives me health and life and sanity, because he's committed me to do it, because I'm 100% sold that this book is powerful, because everybody that does believe it has eternal life, and because of the results that I see from the few that do get saved and the potential that they have and what they could do in their lifetime for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, here we go. I mean, we're going to get Brother Smith in here, and you know what he's going to do in the next few nights? He's going to pull the curtain back off, and he's going to expose the devil. He's going to warn the church. And you know what? Good. What good timing, because we're getting ready to launch into the spring program. We might as well understand what the devil is going to be up to. So we're going to do that for the next 3 nights, and after that, we're going to be better equipped and wiser. And then you know what? Next Sunday, we're going to blow the trumpet and give the rally cry. And then you know what? We're going to launch into April into our spring program, and then we're going to launch into May with our outreach ministry, and June in our outreach ministry and our Shine His Lights campaign, and we're going to keep going. And folks, listen to me. Let's all get a part of this. Let's all be a part of this. Because you know what? The great potential of just a handful of people in Jasonville, Indiana, is almost immeasurable if we just do what God's asked us to do. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to be encouraged by the parable of the sower. I appreciate the fact, dear God, that you gave us in this parable some very honest, transparent principles. Lord, you've prepared us to understand that in the world that we have been called to minister, there's going to be disappointments, and there's going to be people that will not believe, and there's going to be people that seem to believe and then walk away. There's going to be people that are more interested in being influenced by the thorns and choked out by the thorns and buddying up with the thorns than they are producing fruit. There's going to be some folks, Lord, that have the stony ground. All of those things are true. There's no way in the world we can kill all the buzzards of hell that float around trying to steal the seed. I get it. That's part of it. But Lord, thank you, dear God, that if we just are faithful, there is good ground. There are people that will believe. There are people that will begin to produce. There are people that's going to make a difference, dear God. Let us not be weary in well-doing. I pray, dear God, that you'd help us. I pray, Lord, that you'd bring a spirit of excitement to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I pray there'd be a spirit of determination in the next several weeks to do all that we can do for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name.